Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, the words kids these days can be followed by all manner of criticism, some fair, some not. But one you might not have thought of is have no sense of direction. Has Google Maps ruined them in that regard? And in fairness, does that include a bit more than just younger people? Jerry Broughton is the author of 4 Points of the Compass, The Unexpected History of Direction. Jerry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
If one such as, I mean, and you know, people in this country would be aware of black cab drivers in London, or they used to have to do this at least. They had to do these exams for the knowledge, so they had memorised essentially London. What effect would that have had on their hippocampus?
So neurologists at University College London discovered, they tested the cabbies before and after they retired, and they discovered that their hippocampi, which are these little seahorse-shaped bits just buried behind your ears, had actually shrunk, because they're the bits that basically you have spatial memory in. So it seems that they kind of, they're like a muscle. And so if we lose that sense of direction, which my own kids have, and I think mainly kids who are going online and aren't understanding those directions between north, south, east and west, are literally disoriented, because it's a word that comes from the Latin, which means the east, so from the east. So we lose direction in terms of the east. And look, it's not the end of civilization, but it's a real worry that kids just don't actually understand those directions anymore. And of course, it's leading to a whole sort of retrenchment, and they're not really even engaging in nature to some extent. Which is a bit of a scary one.
Now, and you do go into schools and engage with kids, and so what are you finding?
Well, I just went in. My kids, aged about 6, 7, I just said, I'll come into the school and I can show them how to draw very basic maps. And we could just look at compasses and do north, south, east and west. You never eat shredded wheat. And I discovered that the kids didn't know their directions. And of course, for millennia, we've done this. And, you know, many people, I love Connemara, would be on the west of Ireland, you know where the sun sets and therefore also where the sun rises, east to west. And then you work out north and south. Now, we've been hardwired, you know, humans have been hardwired to understand that, because it keeps us safe. You know where the wind comes from. It helps us grow crops. Agrarian societies are absolutely hardwired to those directions. We are now, it seems, losing those basic survival instincts. And it's one of the many things, without being a sort of doomsayer, but moving online is a real issue. And I know that my kids really didn't understand that. And it's a basic skill to sort of learn how those directions work. If you're moving around somewhere, if you're at sea, I sort of sail in the Med sometimes, it's a life or death matter. So it's a really interesting one around how it's losing that connection to nature. And, you know, used to use maps, but maps still, you're working between a map and then you're looking at the land and back and forth. Now we're glued to, I say this in the book, to the blue dot. We all just bump around, you know, looking at the blue dot on our phones, and we are losing the sense of the world around us, really, which isn't a great moment, really.
And people listening might be saying, well, hang on, there is a map on my phone. I follow that map on my phone. What's the difference between that and following a physical paper map?
Well, you know that those maps are really, really simple, and I have a bit of a beef with Google, because they're really just doing it as an adjunct to get you from, you know, one restaurant or place to the other. It's an adjunct to commercial advertising and selling. It's not the kind of map that we used to have, you know, in England, the Ordnance Survey. Well, that had its own problems, because that was a military application. So there's always been a problem of how we've used those things. But we do relate. We get to a certain point. We look up. We sort of see the world around us. And I don't think that happens in the same way with the phone. I'm as guilty of it as anybody. I'm very aware of it. You know, here I'm in London and I get out the tube. I'm immediately disoriented and I reach for my phone. And I used to use an A to Z, and I had a much better sense of moving around the city 20 odd years ago, but I'm getting old. And I don't think it's just a generational thing, though. And it'd be really interesting how many of your listeners still use paper maps.
Yeah. No one so far has said they do. One listener says, I often teach my kids 10 and 12 about the position of the sun and the time of the day to know where they're going, and to look for the North Star at nighttime, and left and west, right is east, and behind you is south. So at least someone's trying to teach their kids there. But we did get this from someone that they say, I was a guard, as in a policeman, cursed with a terrible sense of direction. Many's the time I whizzed by a junction to be reminded, the bad guys are up the last left turn there, PJ. Good man. There's nothing like blazing through the town centre with the blues and twos blaring, wearing my serious face, and then doing an Austin Powers style 27-point turn in the narrow streets at 3 a.m. when half the town's drunks are cheering you on. Can that happen to people, though, as well, that people can just be cursed with a poor sense of direction?
They can, actually. Yeah, it is. I mean, just a sort of form of spatial dyspraxia. And, you know, increasingly we realise people are dyslexic and dyspraxic. And so that is also an issue. And, of course, I guess, you know, in older times, sorry, you'd just get eaten if that happened to you.
Yes. Good point. Yes.
but you know, it does happen. But, you know, more broadly, you know, and it shapes religions. You know, East is always the sort of prime direction in Christianity. So medieval maps had East at the top because that was where the Garden of Eden was and creation. Muslim maps all had South at the top because all the communities that first converted in the early days of Islam were Jew north of Mecca. So they looked up. And you just made that point about left or right, up and down. That often constricted how people saw their sense of direction. You know, up could be east, down could be west. They'd sort of work it out according to their body. It is hardwired in our bodies, and I think that we are losing that as our little hippocampi shrink.
Yeah, and does that, because even the idea, I suppose, because, you know, and often a complaint people will often make when they, you know, when people go to concerts, they're not actually looking at the concert, they're looking at their phone, which is looking at the concert. So people are walking around streets and they're not looking at the streets, they're looking at their phone, which is telling them about the street. So in a way, we're not really going outside anymore.
No, we're not. And I remember when I talked to Google about all their mapping applications, and they said that they're creating, basically, the map is a giant browser. And that really terrified me, because there is the sense in which we now just simulate a version of the world online. And that is a bit scary. Mm. And I think the worry with that is now that you do get what we call not just agoraphobia, biophobia. So that kids are starting, as they were probably a few hundred years ago, being scared of nature. Now, that was partly because you'd go out into nature and it was a dangerous place because bad things could happen to you. But now, of course, if you get that with kids who feel that they're scared of nature, that's a real problem, because then environmentalism would say, well, it's hard enough to keep a hold of nature if you believe that it needs to be saved. When people start saying, well, actually, I don't like going out into nature, then you've really got a problem, because people don't want to even save it because they're scared of it. Yeah. That's disastrous.
Do you, and are there, have any studies been done on actually how much young people leave their houses or go outdoors?
Yeah, well, there have been these studies also about roaming, so how far kids go, and that's been reduced massively. So, and again, I'm sure many of your listeners will think about this. You know, I'm 55. I remember growing up in the 70s. You know, your mum and dad would say, go on, get out. See you at 5.
Yeah.
And, you know, we would roam. Now, of course, there's certain problems with that, but that has been shrunk so massively to maybe a few kilometres to now just on average a few metres that the kids will be able to roam. And I think that's not great. That, you know, that you have to give people the ability to roam in that way and get lost. Google famously say we're the last generation that knows what it will mean to get lost. That's quite scary. I think there's a sort of, you don't want to deliberately always get lost, but you do want to be able to push your limits and say, what do I do and how do I be resourceful when maybe I have got lost and taken the wrong turn, and when the phone battery dies anyway?
Yeah, crikey. Do actually, Ed says, I always treated myself and spent, I recently treated myself and spent €200 on an atlas. I've always loved mats. Maps. They're beautiful. They are indeed. You're right, Ed. Are maps made anymore? Are they revised at all?
They are. It's a really good point. They are, but they are becoming more and more of a sort of historical curiosity. The Ordnance Survey here in England has basically pretty much gone online. So I think that that's just an inevitable process of technology. I don't mind that too much, because maps have always gone through different medium. They used to make them in stone, papyrus, you know, vellum, and then they went into print, and now they have moved online. But the problem is, it's who's in charge of making that map. And when it's the tech corporations who have no interest in the sort of wonder of the world, they're just using those maps really to sell you stuff. because we found out that 30 to 40% of all online searches, this is why Google got into maps, they realized that 30, 40% of all online searches have a geographical content. And think about that. You're working out, just as you were saying earlier, oh, what's property like, you know, in Meath? Where's the nearest Chinese restaurant? Oh, I'm flying to so-and-so. And so they realized that maps would make them money because then, of course, they could use them for advertising revenue. So we are seeing the death of the paper map. And I think that that's, it's not just sad because it's nostalgic, because many people do love those old maps, but it's a bit scary because, ask you this, what is the standard world map anymore? We don't have one. Because as your listener was just saying, we all grew up, I did in my age, we had atlases. Now, they had problems in their own right because they might sort of center on the UK and it was all pink and the empire and all that nonsense. However, there was a sense in which you understood the geography of the world. I don't think that we do anymore. We talk about globalization. Actually, globalization isn't making us think about the globe and the world in more detail. I think less and less people know about that. And that's not great. I think we need to know what's going on and where the world is and what its shape is, because otherwise we give up on thinking, oh, look what's happening in places like Ukraine or Palestine, or used to happen in Ireland, where people were aware of something of that, of those politics. That's now going, and that's a worry. You know, I don't want Elon Musk to be in charge of my geography.
Yeah, and I suppose people of a certain age might have a picture in their head of what the world looks like.
Yeah.
Is that actually what it looks like?
Well, no, because this is, I might get a bit geeky here. So, I mean, I did write this book with the four points of the compass about maps, saying that all maps are, of course, partial because you can't square the circle. In other words, the Earth is a sphere. You can never project it onto a two-dimensional object like a flat piece of paper. You just can't. So you have to distort it in some way. So all maps are to some extent distorted. So as long as we acknowledge that and then we say, well, what kind of map are you making? The problem is that I think we're sleepwalking into the kind of map that's now being made for us online. And it serves certain commercial, financial interests, and they might not be ones that we all share. And it's also who's off the map. Google now admits, you know, they don't map a lot of places. So if you're in a township, you know, in South Africa, they're not interested in the map. They don't map you. I bet whole areas of sort of, you know, Western rural Ireland probably aren't mapped in the detail that other big urban centres are, because that's where they think the money is. So there's always a reason behind any map and what gets put on the map and what gets left off it.
Jerry, that's fascinating stuff. Thank you so much for speaking with us today. Jerry Broughton is the author of Four Points of the Compass, The Unexpected History of Direction.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.